truly, like no bullshit, who do you think really benefits from this book and why? What stood out in the book writing process of this one for you? Did it flow easily? Were you more challenged than you thought? What is your favorite social media platform right now for you, the human being?
The Gary Vee Audio Experience.
Podcast Nation, what is good? It is so nice to be recording an original podcast. Thank you all so much for listening to the show every day. And I'm incredibly excited. As you know, these days I'm just not doing a whole lot of interviews, but incredibly excited for today's guest because she's been an inspiration for so many of my friends and fellow entrepreneurs over the last 20 years. And I've had the luxury of interacting with her here and there. And she's got a new book. And one of the funniest things is, you know, I write more books than I read them, but I know how many people, because I write them so often, how many people learn from them, love them. And it's really truly one of my favorite platforms of expression and information. And I love to really, you know, it's funny, I don't read the books or the galleys. I read and believe in the people that I put on. And the feedback of all the authors that we've put on over the last year and a half has been overwhelming. So here's another one. Rebecca Minkoff is an entrepreneur to me. I'll let her jump in and explain who she is to all of you right now in her words. And then we're going to get into the book, current events and thematics around the book. So Rebecca, thanks for being on the show.
Gary, I'm so excited. The last time we were together pre-pandemic, we were talking about buying your wine and how good it was.
Thank
and
you.
Then the world ended. So I'm, yes. I'm glad to see you've been leading the world very well since then.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you so much. Tell everybody a little bit about who you are. How do you describe your bio in 3 minutes?
You know, it's funny. I was transitioning more into, like you introduced me, founder, obviously now best-selling author. and the president of my company was like, you are a designer to these women. Stop talking about being a founder and entrepreneur. They want to know that you are a designer. And I was like, okay, I will re-add that to my list of things that I am. She's like, when people are buying a $300 bag, they want to know that you designed it, which I do. But I was proud of identifying as more than that. And now mm-hmm. she's like, own it, babe. This is
like
what
that.
Got you here. Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, because it's both, right? Sometimes people are like, he's a speaker. And I'm like, ugh. But I'm like, but I am, and a wine person, and an operator. So to your point, because you're both, and more.
Correct, and just got to embrace that too now.
When you think of being a designer or an entrepreneur or an author, what do you think has gotten you here? And when I say here, you've had success, you have good relationships, you have a good reputation, like. If I asked you, like, what's gotten you, quote unquote, here, what do you think that is? And then I want to segue into the book.
Yes, grit, relationships, and asking for help. Asking for what you need, I should say, not asking for help. I think the grit comes in because you know this. It's hard no matter what business you're in. You're going to get punched in the face more times than you care to admit. And you need to just get back up, like those dolls that you punch and get back up. Like, and then relationships, you know.
Before you go there,
yes.
I want to dig into each of them.
Yes.
So do you humbly, which is the third one, by the way, we'll get to that in a second. Humbly, do you feel like you were gifted the DNA and your circumstance of your childhood have put you in a position where you have really good tenacity?
Yeah, but I don't think I was born with it. I think I was raised with it. In my household, no one got what they wanted unless they earned it. And, you know, the simplest things, you know, we're told no unless you made the money for it. And so growing up, I had to know how to figure, you know, shit out. And I had to know how to earn money and get what I wanted because it wasn't going to be handed
parents,
to me.
Your parents weren't into spoiling.
No, definitely the opposite.
and you see that as like a remarkable gift in hindsight, right?
Yes. And I'm trying to raise my kids with it. It's not working. Not because I'm not doing it because they don't even care. But I really cared. I wanted that thing bad enough that I was really willing to work for it.
Meaning your children are so not materialistic and want things, or thank God to the luxuries of your life, because I'm dealing with this, they have enough by collateral of their realities that they don't need, they don't really, like, it's okay. They, like, because that's what I'm struggling. I don't feel like my kids or other kids that are in a better financial place than I was as a kid, it's not that it's a spoilage, it's just even their normality is so much greater than what I had that it's different, right?
It's a mixture of both. Their normality, which is not excessive, it's not what you read about with these $100,000 bar mitzvahs, and you know, we're not living this lavish life. But I think what they have, they don't have to want for a lot. But anytime they want something outside of, you know, food and a birthday present and a Hanukkah gift, it's like, well, you can earn it. And they're like, nah, I'd rather not. And they just go about their life. And I'm like, how do I inspire you to get grit? You know,
it's tough to, you know, it's tough to fake environment, right? Like I went on 2 family vacations my entire childhood.
Right.
Like even if I don't excessively do things, my kids went on 2 in their first year of life.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's just different.
Yeah.
Okay, so tenacity. I'm a huge buyer. Tenacity and grit. Relationships is where you were going next.
Yep. So I am here because of women and men who saw something, and they saw a spark of something, and then when I asked, because again, you know, I meet so many people, and I was guilty of this, waiting for someone to say, "Gosh, you seem talented. I'd like to do this for you." Like that never happens. So the cavalry is not coming. So they saw a spark or they were excited. And then I had to ask, which a lot of times was uncomfortable, you know? But a lot of the people who got me to where I got to is because I asked them for that. I said, can you help me do this one thing? Or can you get me on this magazine or on this TV show or on this celebrity or whatever it was that got me here now? And so I think
did that come natural to you? Or did, you know, I would argue that that is an incredibly difficult thing for me, you know? It's asking for something is not a strength of mine.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's ego or, well, it's got to be ego and pride in some ways, but it was so foreign in my household. You know, I never saw my parents ever, ever ask for anything of anybody. And it just became subconscious reality. But I want to be better at it. I don't struggle with humility because I don't think I'm shit, but I do struggle with asking. Did that come natural to you or was that developed?
I think it came natural because I feel like I got to New York. I was not making nearly enough money to survive on my own. And the only way I could get ahead was to ask people, you know, my friend, do you have any styling jobs for me? I'll prove myself. Or to the website,
The one website, go ahead.
The one website that existed I sold my goods to, I'd be like, hey, can you advance me the money? Because otherwise I can't buy the goods. Like, I'm not making any money here. So you pay me for the orders in advance and I'll go fund this little company. I think it was just out of, there was no cushion. So I had to ask.
That just sounds like good negotiations, by the way. More so than asking. You know, why'd you come to New York?
I came to New York because going back to my parents and the lack of what we were given for Hanukkah, we would have choices. Like you can have one magazine subscription or you can have an alarm clock. I chose the magazine subscription and I would get my Vogues or my Harper's Bazaar or whatever. And I was just like, oh my God, what an incredibly beautiful world that New York City is through the magazines. And that's where fashion is. It was either Paris or New York, and I didn't feel quite ready to go to a place where I didn't speak the language, and I was like, that's where it has to be.
I love that. I'm sorry, Becca, where did you grow up?
I grew up in San Diego.
Great weather.
Great weather, right?
Like crazy. Like it freaks me out every time I'm there. I'm like, I want to, you know, as the world is now going remote, and more, I'm like, man, I think San Diego has a real shot of exploding over the next 30 years.
Yeah, it's going to have, you know, it's kind of gone downhill a little bit, but I had the most idyllic childhood there. Like, it's amazing.
And the third one I transferred in my head is humility, but what did you say?
Asking for what you need.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's one of the, right, you used relationships to kind of touch on that. Cool. What's the book?
The book is called Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. And as I looked back on, I can't believe I say this, 20 years of being in this business, breaking a lot of rules, because again, I was not deemed by Anna Wintour, the darling designer. I really came from the outside. And so the rules that I had to reinvent, that got me here, I wanted to write down because I feel like other entrepreneurs or intrapreneurs can benefit from these rules. They're basic. There's nothing, you know, so groundbreakingly deep, but people forget about them. And it's simple stuff that as you're going along, remember these things. And when you're struggling and you're like, should I take a risk? I'm scared. Because again, people let fear stop them. So I wanted these rules so that you had sort of guideposts that when you're scared to take risk or do something nuts, you don't not have the fear. You just proceed anyway.
What stood out in the book writing process of this one for you? Did it flow easily? Were you more challenged than you thought? Did you remember shit that you completely forgot about? Do you feel one part of it really excels versus another?
Yeah. So I had the opportunity to have a friend sit me down for 4 days and interview me and draw out things I'd forgotten in a way that we would, you know, like what you said. And so that was extraordinarily helpful to be able to then pick and choose, okay, this is a book that's supposed to help people. It's not my autobiography. So what stories am I going to tell you that matter and that will teach you a lesson? That was hard to sort of pick apart. I think the chapter that resonates with me the most was, I've talked about it a lot, but last year, you know, 70% of our business evaporated overnight and we had to rebuild our company. And so as I'm sitting there writing a book about how to get started, I sort of had to get down and cozy with reapplying those same rules to succeed. And so that was that that's the final chapter was kind of, you know, the publisher was like, please don't write about the pandemic. Please, we want this to be an evergreen book. And I'm like, but it's pretty central to what I'm going through right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I never write evergreen books. Weirdly, I actually just did. It's coming out in November. It's probably only my second evergreen book. The Thank You Economy was, but the Thank You Economy had a ton of contextual things going on at the time. I think publishers don't realize that the context of the current actually helps books more than the 1 in 1 million evergreen book that gets printed 700,000 editions.
Totally. And it needed it to frame this book because I went back to my rules and I tested them as I rebuilt my company and they worked. So
yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny. I think a lot of us, I mean, I 100% am most proud of my last 14 months. There, besides what I did at the day after 9/11 for my young business, my dad's business at the time, except for that 6 months, I've never been more proud of, you know, being an operator than I've been the last 14 months. I mean, talk about being in such a precarious position and to be here 14 months later in such a power position. I really thought that this was a chapter where operators, and take out a couple of industries like restaurants and others where you really, in certain scenarios, or like events businesses, because restaurants adjusted because they had delivery, but can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yep. I think a lot of us went back to our roots this last 18 months, and it sounds like you did as well.
You had to, because all of a sudden, why would a woman need a handbag right now? She wasn't going anywhere.
Right.
So
right.
How to navigate that slippery slope was quite challenging, but we did it. We emerged stronger and 10% up over the year prior. So Jeez. It was definitely through a lot of grit, tenacity, relationships, you know, and asking for what I needed for sure.
Who do you think really gets, like, truly, like, no bullshit, like, not like a Today Show interview, like, on some real shit, because I know you'll give it to me.
Yeah.
When you now see the book, because, you know, I had an idea for my book, and now I'm seeing it, it's done, and I'm like, oh, okay, it kind of tweaked and went a little left, a little right, a little this way. Who do you think really benefits from this book, and why? Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people, because fearlessness, I mean, fear is the fucking poison of society. So I love your title, because I hate fear, fucking hate it. And especially when people weaponize it, and everybody, and so many people do. But, you know, like, before we talk about the second or third or fourth group that will really get a lot out of this, if I asked you, which is not like an author's favorite thing to do, but I'm asking you, go very narrow to the group that you think this really crushes for. Is there anything that stands out?
Yeah. And it was someone else's perspective that made me go, oh my God, maybe there's a layer to this that I didn't even realize I was doing. I think there has been this girl boss culture of I look perfect, I act perfect, I'm strong, and I'm a girl who's a boss. And I think my book is more about like, this shit is hard. This shit is fucked up. Here's 21 different nightmares that I've gone through to then learn this rule or lesson. And mm-hmm. so I think it's for the person who's like, that didn't ever seem real to me. Like, she had it all. Not, and I'm not just talking about one person, but these feminine icons that have been put up on this bar and never talked about the struggle in a meaningful way, or they talked about the struggle as they were hitting rock bottom, but never on the way up. And so I think it's for that person who's on the way up who needs the truth and who's like, oh, I got to click buttons my whole life to get my car and my Amazon, and I thought my career would be this way. And I'm like, newsflash, it's not. And you better be prepared to work.
Yeah, I love it. Good for you. What are the some of the satellite groups of people that you think it will work for?
I think anyone who is fearful, whether it's, again, should I quit? Should I start a company? Should I raise money? You know, fear, which protects us from bears and scary men in the woods, shouldn't be an emotion that we use to stop us in life from succeeding. And so while I would never say my book is a self-help book, and you're definitely not going to finish the book and say, I'm fearless, it just means that you're like, yeah, I'm scared. And what? Here I go.
Right. Let's do this. It's getting a relationship with fear and letting it sit with you instead of demonizing it or letting it cripple you.
Correct.
I like that. What's your fear of the book's, because you're competitive, right?
I am, Gary, I really am.
I know you are. It's so funny, I didn't even ask. I that was just such a bad job as an interviewer. We haven't had the most interactions, but we've had enough where that just came so easy to me because it's one of my favorite things about you. It's really interesting. I'm at a time in my life where I think I have to start really digging into competitiveness because I think it's in a very interesting place in society. I don't talk about it at all. A lot. It's obvious. It comes through, but it's not a big pillar of my content, but I want it to be because it's such a factor.
Yeah.
But I haven't really gone in my own self with like the healthy and unhealthy parts of my competitiveness and why it works. But I love that about you. It's like literally my word cloud for you. Like literally like when I DM'd you the other day about something else that I want you to come to. And like, literally, I was just going through like my followers. I was like, I've got a very small group to this thing. Who do I want to invite? It was like that random. It like had nothing to do with the fact that we're doing the podcast today. It wasn't why it was on my mind. I was just literally going through it. And it was funny what my brain did. Literally, I said to myself, I love that she's so competitive. And that was just like a random thought. Now I just brought it up again in the podcast. So I'm really excited about this because I think this is the most bullshit from my author friends and authors that I know. Like, I laugh because all of them, no matter how, you know, it's never about the money for a lot of people that have had a good career in writing a book. For authors, it is, it's their money maker, but it's just a competitiveness of how well the book will do. And I couldn't wait to ask you, and I'm glad I got it in. I was worried I was going to forget, and I didn't, so I'm pumped. Like, how does that feel? How's it going? Like, what were you, like, some real talk, which I think would really help people. Like, it's not beating this other book. I can't remember the names, but I always knew like the book that like was doing better than my book every time they were out. That I'd be like, fuck, and you know, like, how are you dealing with the competitive nature of this? And like, tell everybody of like how the process was and is around this book for you competitively.
Yes, so I was entering a whole new space, developing an entirely new audience, and so it was a 6-month full time job birthing this book. And I'm very proud of it and the sales that we've hit and sales we continue to hit. And it's, as I mentioned, a bestseller, but you have certain things that, you know, someone was like, you can't really be complaining about this. Please stop. You know, I wanted to hit certain lists that I didn't, and I can't for the life of me understand why.
There's such hard work.
And there's honestly, ego wrapped up in that. Yeah, there's, yeah. You know, like it didn't, you know, I know I'm still affecting women's lives because I'm getting these incredible letters. I quit my job because I read your book. I'm going to demand a promotion because I read your book. And I love that. And then I'm still like, damn it. I didn't make the New York Times bestseller list. And I know I sold enough books. That's the problem, right? Is I know I sold week one, you know, over 10,000 books. So, and I know that other people on the list sold six. So I have no rhyme or reason, and I and
because they
and
because
I,
the,
and it,
because the New
it
York
eats
Times,
away at me.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Because they do a mix, right? Like, what is bulk? What is not? Which sources? It's like Nielsen ratings. They're not real. What is real is the fact that your book came out on June 15th. We're taping this on the 20th. I assume this podcast will be out within 7 days. The fact that you're over a month in and Amazon's data is incredibly real, and the fact that you're at 2,500 in the world, that it's the 2,500th 2589, right this second, number two in fashion and textile, number six in women in business, like number 103 in the world on personal finance. You know, a lot of books fall off a cliff after the first week or two. When I see that, and I know you enough to know you're not on TV every day, you don't have the biggest podcast in the world every day, you're not pumping out 50 pieces of creative on social media every day. When I see those numbers, and I've been in this for now 13 years, I know that you've got word of mouth going. That
Yay.
The book, yeah, I can tell you from an outside perspective, and very honestly, like I love you and I cheer for you, but I have no horse in this race, I can give a shit. I know that if it's doing those numbers right now on Amazon at this exact second I just looked, that knowing your promotion cycle and like your platforms, I'm like, oh shit. That must be a really good book, because the only way it's doing those numbers right now is that there's word of mouth going on.
Nice. Well, that's very, I trust you because I know your shit. So that's good to hear. And it,
what, who was the most fun person you hadn't talked to in a while that reached out to you because of the book, whether it was because of the business marketing strategy beforehand or after the book came out, or even more fun, because they read it and wanted to say something to you?
My high school English teacher.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's the one that quit her job. She said, I read your book. I was a principal at a school, and I said, I just want to be a teacher, and I quit, and I start my new job, you know, September. And I was like, hallelujah, man. That's so cool that, like, I took English from you. I took creative writing from you, and you just reached out after you read my book, and you quit your job because of it.
My English teacher saw me at the Javits Center when I was doing a book event for my second book, and it was Mrs. Horvath, big shout out, came up to me. There was like hundreds of people crowding, selfies, all this, and I was so good to see her. Aww. And I gave her a big hug, and I said, Miss Horvath, could you have ever imagined me having this book when I failed all your classes? And she went into, no, you weren't that bad. I'm like, Miss Horvath, it's amazing how history rewrites itself. Yes. But that's really neat. It made me think of that story. So what, as we're wrapping up, what do you want people to know about this book? Why should they get it? Or what other things should we touch on before we get out of here?
I think we should touch on the fact that, you know, I offer with my brand, you know, clothing that is supposed to make a woman feel confident, fearless, optimistic. And I was like, oh shit. When she reads this book, she can now also embody that mindset, you know? And so I think it's the complementary second part of the woman, you know, and the world that we create with the brand.
Have you seen any pictures with somebody having your book sticking out of your handbag?
Not yet. I've seen a lot of people posting pictures on vacation with a really beautiful drink and they're sitting by the pool.
By the way, you'll never believe this. One of the reasons I historically have liked to release books around spring break in the summer is I want Instagram photos with hot dog legs of and my book. Like I literally think like that, like I literally, this one's close to my birthday, but I real in winter, but like I've always wanted to do summer and spring books. I pushed for that in the past because I love that photo. I don't know why, but it's just such a nice photo.
Totally.
All right, Vayner Nation, do me a favor. If you've got one of Rebecca's incredible handbags, buy the book, stick it in there, get on social, tag me and Rebecca. I want to share it. I think she deserves that photo. It's a good feeling.
I have an offer for Vayner Nation if you want.
Well, sure. What do you got?
If you buy the book anywhere books are sold and you email me the receipt, I'll give you $25 off my website, anything you order. So you're basically getting the book for
I like
free.
This hustle.
Yeah?
I like this hustle.
All
yeah.
Right.
What's your email?
Fearless@RebeccaMinkoff.com. Just put Vayner Nation in the subject line with your receipt.
So cool. Say it one more time. I love this right hook. This is one of my moves.
fearless at RebeccaMinkoff.com. Send me a screenshot and your address of your receipt of wherever you want to buy your book, audio, Kindle, whatever, and I'll send you a $25 gift card.
I like that. Is there anything that they can buy for $25 on your site, or things too expensive they
can
apply?
No. Yeah, they can
What's the lowest thing?
$95.
Nice.
I think we have some earrings for like $65. So if you got to spend $20 extra, yeah.
Yeah. Rebecca, some fun lightning round. What is your favorite social media platform right now for you, the human being, like using or consuming, however you want to take that question?
I guess I'm dating myself, but still Instagram. I'm sad.
I don't think that's dating.
We're moving on from picture to video, but it still entertains me.
I actually think it's the biggest opportunity. I've literally haven't been able to get this out of my mind, that if I wasn't so goddamn busy, I would start a social network that is picture only.
Yeah.
Just to take, you know, because the opportunity has now arisen.
Right. It's true. You can put it on that light phone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max? What are you binging?
On Hulu, Handmaid's Tale. On Netflix, mm-hmm. I just finished The Walking Dead. I was a couple of years behind. I just watched The Queen's Gambit. I'm a little bit behind on all these things because #3Kids. But yes.
And final thought. What are you most excited about post-summer?
I'm excited post-summer about, we have three new brand category launches. So I'm excited about those babies to be born. And you're going to be really proud of me for our Fashion Week activation. I can't talk about it here, but it's definitely something you're going to be
Let me know.
About.
I'm proud of you. Listen, what I'm really excited about is that I was able to give you this platform, and I know a lot of people just discovered you, and I'm glad about that. And so I highly recommend, please, Vayner Nation, don't do the cliche shit. When I tell you, I know this entrepreneur, this is not a female girl boss book. Every dude fucking listening to this will get tremendous value because I read every fucking DM and dudes are just as fucking scared about shit. And, you know, and so please don't let's do that cliche shit. Please check out the book. Please understand this entrepreneur and designer and human. And I'm really glad we got to do this podcast, Rebecca.
Thank you, Gary. You're the
best.
Have
a great day.
Bye.
So what up? As we're wrapping up, what do you want people to know about this book? Why should they get it? Or what other things should we touch on before we get out of here?
I think we should touch on the fact that, you know, I offer with my brand, you know, clothing that is supposed to make a woman feel confident, fearless, optimistic. And I was like, oh shit, when she reads this book, she can now also embody that mindset, you know? And so I think it's the complementary second part of the woman, you know, and the world that we create with the brand.
Have you seen any pictures with somebody having your book sticking out of your handbag?
Not yet. I've seen a lot of people posting pictures on vacation with a really beautiful drink and they're sitting by the pool.
By the way, you'll never believe this. One of the reasons I historically have liked to release books around spring break in the summer is I want Instagram photos with hot dog legs and my book. I literally think this one's close to my birthday, but I've always wanted to do summer and spring books. I've pushed for that in the past because I love that photo. I don't know why, but it's just such a nice photo.
Totally.
All right, Vayner Nation, do me a favor. If you've got one of Rebecca's incredible handbags, buy the book, stick it in there, get on social, tag me and Rebecca. I want to share it. I think she deserves that photo. It's a good feeling.
I have an offer for Vayner Nation if you want.
Well, sure. What do you got?
If you buy the book anywhere books are sold and you email me the receipt, I'll give you $25 off my website, anything you order. So you're basically getting the book for
I
free.
Like this hustle.
Yeah?
I like this hustle.
All
yeah.
Right.
What's your email?
Fearless@RebeccaMinkoff.com. Just put Vayner Nation in the subject line with your receipt.
So cool. Say it one more time. I love this right hook. This is one of my moves.
Fearless@RebeccaMinkoff.com. Send me a screenshot and your address of your receipt of wherever you want to buy your book, audio, Kindle, whatever, and I'll send you a $25 gift card.
I like this. Is there anything that they can buy for $25 on your site, or will be, or things too expensive they could apply?
No. Yeah, they can
apply. What's the lowest thing?
$95.
Nice.
I think we have some earrings for like $65. So if you got to spend $20 extra bucks, yeah.
Yeah. Becca, some fun lightning round. What is your favorite social media platform right now for you, the human being, like using or consuming, however you want to take that question?
I guess I'm dating myself, but still Instagram. I still, you know, I'm sad.
I don't think that's dating.
I'm sad that we're moving on from picture to video, but it still entertains me.
I actually think it's the biggest opportunity. I've literally haven't been able to get this out of my mind, that if I wasn't so goddamn busy, I would start a social network that is picture only.
Yeah.
Just to take, you know, because the opportunity has now arisen.
Right. It's true. You can put it on that light phone.
Mm-hmm. What about Netflix, Hulu, HBO Max? What are you binging?
On Hulu, Handmaid's Tale. On Netflix, I just finished The Walking Dead. I was a couple of years behind. I just watched The Queen's Gambit. I'm a little bit behind on all these things because #3kids. But yes.
And final thought. What are you most excited about post-summer?
I'm excited post-summer about, we have three new brand category launches. So I'm excited about those babies to be born. And you're going to be really proud of me for our Fashion Week activation. I can't talk about it here, but it's definitely something you're going to be
Let me know.
About.
I'm proud of you. Listen, what I'm really excited about is that I was able to give you this platform. And I know a lot of people just discovered you. And I'm glad about that. And so I highly recommend, please, Vayner Nation, don't do the cliche shit. When I tell you, I know this entrepreneur, this is not a female girl boss book. Every dude fucking listening to this will get tremendous value because I read every fucking DM and dudes are just as fucking scared about shit. And, you know, and so please don't let's do that cliche shit. Please check out the book. Please understand this entrepreneur, and designer and human. And I'm really glad we got to do this podcast, Rebecca.
Thank you, Gary.
You're the best. Have a great day.